Beloved, would you open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 15. These verses are real familiar for us. But pray that the Lord would help us as we meditate on them to go a little deeper, become a little more intimately familiar, and that they would take up root in our hearts, rather that the love of God's word and the word itself would take a deeper root in our hearts and bear more fruit. For as you see, as we come to the sermon, as we come to church every week, what are we giving ourselves to? The reading, the preaching, the singing, the praying of God's word. It is all around the word. Sola Scriptura, the scriptures, the word of the Lord, is why we are here, this what we have, and without it we have nothing. 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17. Hear now the word of the Lord about the word of the Lord. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. If you are one to take notes, and you might want to note here that this is one of the important proof texts about the scriptures themselves. I'll reference another one that we looked at Wednesday night, but this is a pretty important scripture about the scriptures, about the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 we particularly usually emphasize, but verse 15 I wanted to have in there for what it says about the scriptures as well. And I was motivated by this week's membership class to study the scriptures with you in our evening service. I was just blessed to revisit it and to remember how vital are the scriptures. Remember, that's even why the Westminster Confession starts with "of the Holy Scriptures" before it then talks about God and the Trinity. Why? Because God and the Trinity are known through the scriptures. Saving knowledge of God is through the scriptures alone. General revelation of this world is enough to convict and condemn us of the truth of God. But it is the scriptures that reveals him savingly to us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I hope that as we had that study Wednesday night, and as we, in the weeks to come, study why we use the King James Bible, when we get back to that on Wednesday nights, and I hope tonight as we revisit the Holy Scriptures once more, that the Lord would revive our appreciation and our use of the scriptures. Because we all can be prone to neglect, or even if we can be involved in our devotions, we can lack a bit of a devotion within it. We can tend to get mechanical. That doesn't mean that that's all we do, but we're always in danger of just not really appreciating what we're reading here and that it's alive and powerful. So again, Confession of Faith, chapter 1 of the Holy Scriptures is kind of our springboard for this study tonight. And the Confession of Faith, chapter 1, section 1, I'd like to read in part for you. It pleased the Lord at sundry times and in diverse manners to reveal himself and to declare that his will unto his church, and afterwards for the better preserving and propagating of the truth, and for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan and of the world, to commit the same wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, the whole thing, unto writing, which maketh the Holy Scripture to be most necessary. So we talked about the necessity of Scripture. We need the Holy Scriptures to know God savingly. God wrote his words down to benefit us. Think about that. When you ever want to remember something really well, when something's really, really important, we want to make sure we get it right and we don't forget, we write it down. Fernanda has a list on her refrigerator now of all these things we need to get done. She wrote it down. Why do we write things down? It really helps us to remember, and it's highlighting what's important not to forget. God wrote it down. The Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 1, section 4 says, the Bible, the word of God, the scripture, is to be received because it is the word of God. And that's what we want to remember as we open the Bible. It is the word of God. This isn't just any man's notes. These are the notes of God. You can remember the Ten Commandments were written by the very finger of God. But the Lord is writing through the fingers of men. by the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God. As we've opened up the Word tonight, remember, it's the Word of God speaking to us. And in this case, it's speaking about itself because the Word itself is self-authenticating. It is its own authority. Why? Because it is from God. It is God speaking, and there is no higher authority to attest to it. I'd like to read for you again at the beginning of this message what I read for you at the end of our Wednesday study about the scriptures from Thomas Watson, the Book of Divinity. His book, The Body of Divinity, collected sermons through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And this is this section for you is on Shorter Catechism 2 related to the scriptures. And he says these things. I pray it'll prime the pump and whet our appetite a bit as we would study the scriptures. And it certainly bears repeating. He says this, the two testaments are the two lips by which God has spoken to us. The mystery of Scripture is so abstruse and profound that eternity should be born, that he who thunders in the heavens should cry in the cradle, that he who rules the stars should suck the breasts, that the Prince of Life should die, that the Lord of Glory should be put to shame, that sin be punished to the full, yet pardoned to the full. Psalm 119, 140, thy word is very pure. It is so pure that it purifies everything else. The scriptures, having such an exhilarating, heart-comforting power in them, shows clearly that they are of God. And it is he that has put the milk of consolation into these breasts. If the scriptures be of divine inspiration, then be exhorted first to study the scripture. It is a copy of God's will. Be scripture men, Bible Christians. Colossians 3:16. There is a majesty sparkling in every line of Scripture. Read the Bible with reverence. Think in every line you read that God is speaking to you. The Scripture will make us wise. Psalm 119:104. Love the word written. Well, then, may we count those the sweetest hours which are spent in reading the Holy Scriptures. Conform to Scripture. Oh, that the Bible might be seen printed in our lives. And I think the line he wrote, I'd particularly like to highlight by repetition. Think in every line you read that God is speaking to you. Beloved, if we remember that as we open our Bibles, or if we remember that to influence us to open our Bibles and to listen, think in every line, it is the Word of God. In every line, God is speaking to you. Open the Bible and say, God is speaking to me, and ask the Holy Spirit to open your ears and your heart to hear what he has to say. Because the Scriptures save, and the Scriptures sanctify. And that is the message for you from our text this evening. The Scriptures save and sanctify you. The Scriptures save and sanctify you. The Scriptures are God's holy breath recorded in writing. It's the first thing we want to consider. The Scriptures are God's holy breath recorded in writing. How do you know if a person is not dead but alive? Well, you might check a pulse, but what do you often do? You might put your ear down to see if you hear any what? Breathing. Breathing is a sign of life. Breath is a sign of life. And verse 16 says, the Scripture is inspired by God. Literally in the Greek, the Scripture is God-breathed. as you want to remember that every line you're reading is God speaking to you, you can almost pray the Lord would help you by the Holy Spirit feel the wind of his breath and the warmth of his breath. It's God's breath. Now, more importantly, it's God's thoughts, of course, but he's expressing them. He's communicating them. These words are breathed by God. Again, he's speaking to you. As it were, he's speaking in your ear as you read. After all, Hebrews 4, verse 12 reminds us, Hebrews 4:12, that the scripture, the word of God, is living and active. Not only that, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to discern your lives, discern even within your most inward secret parts. That's the word of God. It's alive. It's not a dead document. It is complete. The canon is complete, you remember, but it's alive. It's active. It's the breath of God in your ear, in your heart, as you will have ears to hear. 2 Peter 1:19-21. We won't turn there directly. We gave it a lot of attention on Wednesday night, but we were taught there that though the Bible is written by many different authors in terms of humans, it is only one author. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote through men. So because he is infallible, he can work through infallible men and give an inerrant product that is no error. It is the Holy Spirit writing through men. It is the living Holy Spirit. He is the author of it all. He's the one who has wrote to it. So that's the thing. When we want to wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we need wait no longer than read the Bible. You know, we often kind of want to wait and lick our finger and put it in the air and pretty much always make a horrible mistake when we do that, right? Even including our feelings and our emotions. We think we're moved by something when in fact it's usually sinful impulses. The Word of God is written by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through what he wrote to us to speak to us. And he doesn't speak contrary to his Word. He speaks to us through his Word and confirms it. So it is breathed out by God. It is written by the Holy Spirit. And we know it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to hear it and believe it. His own writing. In verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the scripture is called holy. It's called the Holy Scripture. It's not just any writing. It's the holy writing. Set apart, special, righteous. It's written by the Holy Spirit. It is righteous. It is holy. It is different from all other writings, but it is writing. The scriptures in the Greek, it looks like the word where we get our word grammar. It is writing. We need to recognize the written word, the inscripturated word, is vital and necessary for us, but it's holy. Because it is in writing, you need to read it, to breathe it. Of course, we need to listen to it, we need to hear it. Much of church history, the only option was to be in church. The Bereans would have been searching the scriptures through church. They would have had their own Bibles. We need to read the Bible. We need to hear it read. We need to hear it preached and explained and expounded. Verse 15 says, by the scriptures, through faith in Jesus Christ. We understand in the gospel and we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But what does that phrase even mean? Well, we understand what it means through faith in Christ Jesus by the other scriptures, right? All of the scriptures is about Jesus. All of the scriptures is telling us how to be saved in Jesus, prophesying Jesus, and then proclaiming the prophesied Jesus has come and fulfilled the scriptures. Remember Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus says, the Psalms, the law, the prophets, they all speak of me. He expounded all of them on the walk to Emmaus, and they said our hearts were burning within us when the scriptures were explained to us, because they're alive. And Christ is the one preaching ultimately through the earthen vessel. Christ is the one explaining his scriptures. May they burn in our hearts. John 5, verse 39, Jesus says, search the scriptures, and you'll see they're about me. So, beloved, here's the beautiful thing. We love to talk about Jesus and our love for Jesus. How do we know Jesus better? Searching the scriptures, studying the scriptures, knowing all of the Bible, and learning how to see Jesus in every word and every page. God is speaking to us, and in particular, Christ is speaking to us. And remember, he is the Word, John chapter 1. He is the Word. So as you study the Bible, this holy Word of God, it breathes life. It is the recorded breath of life, and it is about Christ. So remember what we saw in the quote this morning by Thomas Goodwin. The Bible doth, as it were, take our hands and lay them upon Christ's breast, and let us feel how his heart beats and his bowels yearn toward us. You want to know Jesus better, and you want to know more intimately his love for you, read the Bible, and it's as if God puts his hand on the breast of Christ so you can feel his heart beating for you and his breath breathing for you. It makes me think of John, the beloved. What did he do when Christ was near him? What I hope you and I would do, laid his head on the breast of Christ. May we, as we open the Bible and read, may we hear Christ. May we feel him. May we smell him. May we feel his heart beating for us. May we feel the strength and comfort of laying our head in his bosom. Because it's all about Christ. The Confession of Faith, chapter 1, section 2 says, all the scriptures, after listing all of what are the scriptures, all which are given by the inspiration of God to be the rule of faith and life. All of the Word of God is to rule over our life, to rule over our faith. All of the scripture is the way to live because it's the way of life. It's the way to life. It's the way to live. The Holy Scriptures are powerful to save you into life in Christ. The Scriptures are God's holy breath recorded in writing. And the Holy Scriptures are powerful to save you into life in Christ. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, such figure of speech is talking about the Word of God and its effect in our bodies, or its effect in our souls, that is, as honey is to our body. What does honey do? It's life-giving. It's life-reviving. It has a life-giving property. Without food, we die. We die without food. With food, we live. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the manna from heaven. He is eternal life. And we know him through the scriptures. And so through the scriptures, we are saved. Through the scriptures, we are brought from death to life. Through God using the scriptures, we are brought to eternal life in Christ. Verse 15 says, from a child you've known the scriptures. Paul's writing to Timothy. And he's talked earlier about how, I believe you believe what we all believe. He says, as a child. Now, it's interesting. The Greek word for child is actually infant. You can think back to Psalm 8, verse 2, quoted in Matthew 21. Thou hast ordained strength. Thou hast perfected praise out of the mouths of infants, of nursing babes. The Word of God has a power to even reach into young children more than we often can understand. Of course, God can work faith in a baby in the belly, just as we saw with John the Baptist. But it's so beautiful to see how often the children will reflect something we've been teaching them, reflect something we've been singing. Even at very early ages, they'll start to praise the Lord and love him. The Word of God is powerful. It is effective to save. And so we see in verse 15, even as a little child, an infant, you knew the Holy Scriptures. Look with me back to chapter 1, verse 5. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. But I believe that you have an unfeigned faith. That is, I believe you have a true, credible profession of faith. I believe you're a true believer. There's a lot of reasons he can say that. But what we're recognizing from that and our verse 15 is that from a child, he has known the scriptures. The scriptures have the ability to save our children, beloved. We don't need to let them go out and screw around with the world only to finally fall on a pigsty and then if finally as an adult pay attention to the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to save our children now. The Word of God has the power to direct our children now unto an abundant life now and peace of mind now and the unspeakable joy of Christ now. It has that power. May we give it to them. Psalm 119, verse 9, we had in our call to worship this evening. How can a young man make his way right? By giving himself to the word of the Lord. Later, verse 11, I believe, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, you have sin trouble like I do, don't you? What's the antidote? The word of God. The word of God. Hiding the word of God in your heart will help and protect you from sin. Why, if nothing else, would we not be giving ourselves to it constantly? Especially certain scriptures that speak to some of our habitual, more problematic sins. It has the power to save our children and to save us. It says it is able to save. You have known the scripture since you were an infant, and they are able to save you. That Greek word is related again often to the word dynamite, the power, the authority, the ability to save. You think about the power you see in dynamite again. The word of God is that. Let's not pretend it's this old dated document. Boy, I remember the Atsukis when we visited as the elders, they were sharing with us the church they got away from many years ago because that church was starting to have meetings to insist that homosexuality is to be understood as okay and tolerated. And they were appealing to the scriptures, and they were really bullied about it, as they said. But they said one of the elders, or I think it was the pastor, if I'm not mistaken, when they were appealing to them about this, because I think he was at their table. If it wasn't the pastor, it was one of the other people, maybe one of the elders, I think. Whoever it was, they said the Bible is an old document. As if it's dated. As if it's no longer relevant. But beloved, that's how the word is often treated. Even in church that are not so liberal as this denomination is, I would argue it's no longer a true church. But aren't many churches guilty of that? Aren't we guilty of that? Acting as if it's an old, antiquated document. And some of the jots and tittles we don't want, we excuse away and say, oh, that was the culture. Instead of, no, that's the word of God speaking to what our culture should be. In contrast to the culture of the world around us, right? It is powerful to save. Powerful to deliver. The scriptures have real power, real life-giving, changing power to make us wise unto salvation. The scriptures are used by God to save us, which is why no missionary enterprise should be asking for a dime of support if its focus is not on preaching the word of God. And I've been compelled this week as I've been studying actually an article that I'm preparing to write for on the three offices of the church. And one of the things that one of the writers supporting the three office argues is that we have gotten to a place with a two-office view where the ministry is brought down, and the concern with that is it's made to be too similar to everything else, and then the primary responsibility of studying and understanding and preaching the word of God gets put down on all the other things as well, and we have 1,000 things to do, and we really neglect focusing on the word of God, trusting it to be the power to save, and putting our hope in programs, and putting our hopes in other people and the ways of the world, instead of trusting God to save by emphasizing the preaching of the word. And I'm convicted as I want to help get, I don't believe we're doing anything wrong, but by me trying to help get a lot of things in order for our church administratively, and I do believe administrative work is part of the pastoral work from the scriptures. But we've got to focus on the primacy of the word and the preaching of it to save. And not expect that something else will save or deliver. And have we not observed as we've been out here, reading the word of God, opening and closing our services and singing it and giving the benediction from it, have we not seen its power to stop people in their tracks and at least expose to them their need to be saved? The word of God is able to save souls. And so we have a hope like an anchor for our soul. Hebrews 6:19. We have a hope like an anchor for our soul. Think of that word anchor. That anchor is what keeps you from drifting out to sea and dying in a storm. Or being lost in an ocean never to return. The word of God keeps you grounded, settled, safe. It's a hope that won't disappoint. It's an anchor for our soul. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope in salvation. Hope in eternal life. But also for abundant living along the way in that new life. Psalm 19, verse 7, we love to sing regularly. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Once again, it has the power to save. The Word of God has the power to save. The Word of God converts the soul. Beloved, let's keep going to it to keep converting us and to convert others. And let us be careful not to get in long conversations with people and never get around to quoting the Bible. If you only have a little opportunity to share with someone the faith, share with them the Bible. Quote the Word of God. It is what converts. Not you or your argument, although we are to be ready to give a defense of the faith, but let it not be without the quoting and the explanation of the Scriptures. They save. They are our hope. But it isn't just that they convert the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7 also says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Of course, Paul says to Timothy tonight, makes us wise into salvation, but it makes us wise in our salvation, makes us wise in our sanctification. The Word of God, the Scriptures, the written Word, doesn't just give life, but it brightens life, and it guides us in life. The Holy Scriptures are profitable to sustain you in your life in Christ. The Scriptures are God's holy breath recorded in writing. The Holy Scriptures are powerful to save you into life in Christ. And the Holy Scriptures are profitable to sustain you in your life in Christ. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is, it shows you where you are standing presently, and it guides you where next to step forward. Is that not constantly our need? To understand where are we at the moment, and where are we supposed to focus and go? How are we to live our lives? How are we to make decisions along the way? According to the Word, like holding out a lamp so you can see where you are and holding it out further so you can see where to go. Not there. Oh, I see what's there. Ah, this is the way. Safety. Sustainability. Verses 99 through 104 of Psalm 119, they go on to say how much wiser God's word makes us, the readers, the believers, the doer of it, than the ancients, than the ancient wisdom of the teachers, and than our foes. It makes us wiser than our foes. The word of God gives great understanding for living life well. It gives life, it saves, but it also helps us live that life well and not waste it along the way. Verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, it is profitable. That is, it is beneficial. You will profit from it. You will benefit from it. Anything we invest our money in, we want to see a return on our investment. We want to profit from it. If we're going to be in business, we want to get something for our effort. We want to benefit. We want to get something out of it. And the Word is promising us that if we give ourselves to the study of the Scriptures, we will profit. We will get much out of it. Now, certainly, there are many ways we need to do that. Pray first. The Holy Spirit helps us even to open the Bible, but then also to hear and listen and learn and hear what it's actually saying and apply. But it's profitable to give ourselves to the Word. You and I are missing out when we neglect reading the Word of God. As families, as individuals. You know, Rachel was talking about how when she got to Jeremiah, she was kind of getting herself back to devotional readings. And that's my leadership, ultimately. It's a crazy time right now for us. And I'm always trying to encourage individual devotions as well as family. And she said, boy, you know, it's amazing. When I got back to reading the Bible, it's just amazing how much better I was able to handle the day. You profit from giving yourselves to the Word. Or do we not need all the help we can get to bear the fruit of the Spirit, protect ourselves against ungodly anger and impatience, lack of joy, lack of contentment, all these things that the Word of God helps to drive and guide. How about love? All that love really is and what it really isn't, to correct and guide how we love one another. It's the Word of God that reminds us and then helps us to make the right choices and have the correct behavior that bears the best and good and holy fruit. It's profitable. It's profitable for what? Well, I summarize it this way, verse 16, to teach, to convict, to restore, to disciple. To raise a girl into a godly woman. To raise a boy into a godly man. Verse 17, to equip a man of God. And in here, he's particularly talking about being a minister of the word. Remember, Paul's writing to Timothy as a younger man in the ministry, and he's encouraging him and giving him guidance about how to be leading the church, governing the church, feeding the church. And he says, you need to remember to just keep going to the word of God for everything, to be a man of God. Everything needed to be a pastor and to pastor people is in the Bible. But boy, and boy, are we so in danger of being distracted from the Word of God. And it might sound funny to hear, but we can be so busy with just business and administration and, you know, things, none of which is bad in itself, but we can be in such danger of not giving ourselves to the Word, which is why for our session meetings, for instance, in the trustees meeting, we always start with the devotion in the Scriptures. I don't think we're so unique for sessions, but we don't dare start without giving ourselves to the Word. And when we're looking for answers and making decisions, we study the Word. We want to make wise decisions according to the Word. But the Word of God is sufficient. The sufficiency of Scripture is another important thing we looked at. The necessity of Scripture for salvation and the sufficiency of Scripture for living out our life in Christ. Paul says in verse 14, don't get distracted from knowing and applying the Word to all of life in preaching and ministering. The power to save and the power to profit and sanctify and sustain is in the Word. That's where the life-transforming power is. Remember, 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, God has given us everything we need for godliness, for faith and godliness in His Word. We are in danger of neglecting it, overlooking it, not knowing it well, to be able to go to and apply it and quote it and work with it as we work with others. Paul's saying to Timothy, don't stray from the Word in handling everything in life and handling how you're helping everyone handle their lives. Bring them to the Word. That the man of God would be what? Perfect unto all good works, able to do good ministry and help everyone else bear the fruit of good ministry. Remember, that's what Jesus warns about in the Sermon on the Mount, the fruit of the Pharisees, not teaching people how to really live for God, and so they don't bear any fruit, and that's their fruit. The man of God produces good fruit when he's teaching the people how to truly know and live the Word of God. And the Word of God itself is perfect, helps him be perfect to do that. That word in the Greek means qualified, competent, complete. The Word of God is what can qualify you. Now, of course, we know the Word of God, including in Timothy, talks about qualifications for elders, qualifications for ministers, officers of the church. But the Word of God qualifies us as we study it. So sanctify you to help others to be holy. The Word sanctifies you to sanctify others to be holy. What is Jesus' prayer for us in John 17, verse 17? Sanctify them in thy truth. We recall that in the other scriptures, we know that Thankfulness and holiness are two things God highlights as his will for his church. And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, prays that we would be sanctified, made holy, more distinct and godly and righteous from this world, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to our God by our good works, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, to draw them as being his light and salt to our Father to praise him in heaven. He says, sanctify them in your truth. And then he qualifies what that is. What is it? Thy word is truth. If we're going to grow more holy, we're going to give ourselves to the Holy Scriptures more and more. And not just read them, meditate on them. Not just meditate on them, memorize them. And more than that, obey them. Live them. God helping us. God's word sanctifies. And this is how we saints persevere, by his sanctifying us more and more by his word. So may we do 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Would you look with me there? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Especially as Paul's talking to Timothy as a minister of the word is what will make him qualified. Study to show yourself to be qualified. Study to know how to divide it according to the doctrines and practices. Be able to explain it and how it all works together, letting Scripture interpret Scripture as we studied Wednesday night. But let it be the focus of your ministry, the word of God. Study it well. Appreciate your prayers for me that I would always be making time to study the word. And that's why I love going to the topical sermons. They're helpful for us during our transitionary times. But it's not that I don't study and we don't learn, but I love going through the exegetical sermons because it forces us to get the whole counsel of God. And when I have those sermons, I am particularly giving myself to study. I'm using a lot of extra books. I am painstakingly making sure I understand it. I do my own work in the Hebrew and the Greek, and then I use lots of commentaries. I'm often listening to other things. When it's a special thing, I'll go to our library and look up more resources. It takes a lot of work, but I want to make sure I get it right so that when I come here to preach to you, I can say effectively, thus saith the Lord. So you must hear and obey, believe, obey, so must I. And this is what we're to be giving our time to. This is how you're to be approaching your life as well. Study the word in and out of season. Study the word to be ready to share the word, that others would be saved and sustained and sanctified by the word. Study the word that you would be sanctified in it. It's God's truth. Listen, study the word of God so you would hear him, feel his breath as he speaks to you, the living, holy word, his self-revelation, his revealing of his will for our lives. And remember chapter 3, verse 14. Continue in these things. It says, you've known it as an infant. I believe that you have the same faith as your mother and your grandmother. I see you growing, and I'm encouraging you in the ministry, and I'm reminding you to stay grounded in the word of God, study it, know it well, go there to teach it for people to be saved, for people to be sanctified and sustained. Continue in these things. Don't get sidetracked by other important things that someone else should probably be focusing on. And if no one can, then maybe you shouldn't. Trust the word of God to be the main thing. Make the word of God your main thing. In your lives, you are always going to be tempted and distracted from the word of God. Get rid of those things that so easily beset you. Study the word of God. Make it the main thing. It is your salvation. It is your sanctification. It is your sustaining yourself to persevere into the end. Without a close and regular studying and reading of the word of God, we remain babes, Paul says, when we should be eating meat. Without a regular study of the word of God, we become weak. like Jonathan before he was able to eat the honey. But beloved, just a little taste of honey, and you are so refreshed, right? Just a little bit of sugar or food, and all of a sudden, you're like a different person. Now, there's other things that do that. Fernanda took a look at me today or yesterday and said, I like it when you're rested. You're much different. Might have been, I don't know, one of the few times in our marriage. She's like, oh, I like this guy. Let's see more of him come out. But, of course, it's also with with eating and drinking. Fernanda has to really be careful to eat regularly and drink and stay ahead. Her energy can really plummet quickly unless she's careful with that. I think all of the draining of nursing and lack of sleeping with the babies. And, we've recognized it's just important. But as soon as you do, sit down and hydrate. Sit down and eat. And pretty quickly, things turn around. So it's not as if we're left for dead, but without our regular giving ourselves to the Word of God in prayer, it's like we're the walking dead, right? We go around like we're the living dead. We go around like one of our children last night sleepwalking. And when you're communicating, that's how we are. But when we're reading the Word of God, we can be sharp, we're quick, we're excited, we're attentive, we're alive, we're able to grow and live for God. We're able to bear more fruit. We're able to live better for Him than when we don't. I was so encouraged by thinking about this on Wednesday night with you, and so encouraged just thinking about it and being moved and revived by it for myself. I started giving myself, when I had little moments, when I could, to what I find easiest to do to feed on the Word of God when I'm particularly busy. So, when I'm rocking the baby, sometimes I like to just stick my earphones in and listen to something, and in a little while, it's not the baby that you're hearing. it's me. And I said, look, I got an opportunity here to read the Bible with my smarty pants phone, and I opened up my Bible application. Make sure you have one on your phone, right? And I started reviewing verses that I really like to have memorized. And I generally do, but if I try to quote them off the cuff after the rust has got back on a little bit, I struggle. So I love to just kick off the rust and refresh. And so I was doing that with a few verses. I was doing that when I was waiting to pick up Rachel working yesterday. It's kind of fun to watch her going through the really long drive-through line with her board and all these things. Hey, by the way, ask her to show you a picture of what she has to wear when it's raining. Pretty interesting. I never knew about it. But, while I was waiting, I said, I'm going to give myself to the Word. And I was just memorizing. And I wanted to be able to do it to recite a little bit with you, just to encourage and motivate you. But I just can testify that. I was like, what? I got to do this more, Snap out of all the busyness and just give yourself to the Word. It's like I'm saying a lot of times, we just need to eat or drink. Sometimes we can't sit down for a meal, but nothing's stopping us from grabbing a little bit of snack. I know I'm a testimony that I've got that mastered. That's not a problem for me. I can grab it. But the water, we got to make sure we're regular drinking the water, regular putting the electrolytes in, drinking, and we can just be sipping all day long along the way. Keep it near us. We can't sit down necessarily and give ourselves to a nice, long, attentive drinking. We can be sipping it, and it really is a huge difference in how we function all day long, right? Same with the Word of God. Pant for God, who reveals Himself in His Word, Psalm 42:1, like the deer for the water. Hunger and thirst after Christ's righteousness, and be satisfied as He feeds you in His green pastures, and by His still waters He quenches your thirst. Come to His Word. The word that I encouraged you to memorize recently? And I did work on memorizing it, and I'm telling you, it helped me so much to be able to go to this word regularly, to act appropriately, to have the fruit of the spirit of self-control, and to be able to just let the day be sufficient for the day. Psalm 116, verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Beloved, I challenge you, this is your homework. If nothing else, do not go this week without memorizing that verse. I promise you, you can make great use of it your whole life and every day. How many times do you not struggle to handle all the chaos and craziness and tempted to worry about tomorrow? Catch yourself, speak to yourself, remember the scripture, speak to yourself to settle down in your Savior. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Pester yourself with the word of the Lord. Romans 11, 33 to 36. I love this scripture. I think it just comes up so regularly to share in life and witnessing. Oh, the depth both of the riches and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I think I might have flubbed a couple little things there, but you know what? I thought I probably really would, because when you try to go live, I did practice a lot. But I'm still glad I just about got it right. And it feels great to be revived in it. I want to motivate you to do the same. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made. And all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Do you want the Lord to be looking to you, looking upon you in intimate fellowship? Then look to him, and look to him where you will only find him, savingly, in a sanctifying way. Look to him in the scriptures. Look to him in the Bible. That is, look to him. Look to Christ in his own revelation of himself that he wrote down for you, and tremble at God's word, and find that the scriptures save and sanctify you. Thus saith the Lord, and I give testimony. I know you can say the same with amen. The scriptures alone through Christ save and sanctify you. May the Lord revive us in our love for his word. May the Lord revive us to love to open his word and hear what he will say to us. And sometimes what he will say to us in a new and deeper application with what we've read many times before. But for some reason at that moment, we really hear him. The scripture save and sanctify you. Thus saith the Lord, I testify. Can I get an amen of your own testimony? The scriptures save and sanctify you. Not so bad. We're a little bit light in people tonight. I want everyone to hear us on the webcast and the recording. I'm going to step back. I want everybody to hear it loud. The scriptures save and sanctify you.
Amen.
Amen. How do you know to say amen? The Bible. Truly, truly, I say unto thee. Amen, and out of the mouth of babes. All right. Amen. All right. Gabriel would like to say amen one more time. Is that all right? Can we say it again? One, two, three. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God in heaven, we say amen and amen. Verily, verily, truly, truly, you have said unto us, the scriptures speak of you, and so search the scriptures, and let them bring us to you, Lord Jesus Christ, and let us hear your heartbeat and feel it as we put our hand, as it were, upon your breast and hear your heartbeat for us. Oh, Lord, save us by your word. Deliver us from our sins as you have delivered us from the penalty of our sins. Oh, Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Thy word is truth, and you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray as you taught us to pray in your holy scriptures. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.